Okay, I think this week we'll talk about a topic that comes up in the Parsha, related to the Parsha, and that has to do with the interaction between two of the important yesodas of our religion, that being Shalom and Emes. So the Gemara tells us in Masachet Yevamos that the brothers of Yosef, when their father died in Parshas Vayechi, so the brothers got very nervous because they figured that as long as Yaakov was still alive, so Yosef would tolerate them despite all the history. But after Yaakov was no longer alive, so they worried what exactly would be their fate with Yosef. So therefore they told Yosef that he should go easy on them, he should forgive them, because that was the wish that Yaakov had left before he died. That Yaakov had commanded that Yosef should forgive the brothers. So the problem with that statement, as nice as it sounds, is that it doesn't seem to have taken place. Seems like they made it up. So l'chara, that would be problematic. That would seem to be a violation of Sheker. And we would assume that Chazal would condemn this behavior. And yet the Gemara says, no, it was okay. What they did was mutter. And it's mutter l'shanos b'dvar ha-shalom. That it's permissible to, we'll say lie right now, but it's probably important that the Gemara does not use the word l'shaker. It says l'shanos, which is a milder term, and that might be relevant. But in any case, the Gemara says it's permissible to be dishonest for the sake of peace. That's the first opinion. Second opinion disagrees. Second opinion says it's not true. It's not mutter l'shanos b'dvar ha-shalom. Rather, it's a mitzvah. It's an obligation. How do we know that? So that's also a story in Tanakh. That the Gemara makes reference to an incident with Shmuel HaNavi, where Shmuel was given the task of anointing David as David HaMelech, and he didn't want to take the job, because there was already a king, Shaul. And Shmuel told Kadosh Baruch Hu that it's not a good idea, that Shaul's got a little bit of a temper. And chances are, if he sees me anointing a new king while he's still around, it's not going to go well. It's not going to be something that's going to make him so happy. So, Eich Eilech, how am I going to go do this? For Shama Shaul V'Argani. Shaul's going to kill me. So Kadosh Baruch Hu tells him, don't worry, you have a plan. What you'll do is you'll bring an animal with you. And that animal, you'll claim, is for the purposes of a korban. And therefore, when you run into the king and he asks you where you're going, you say, you're just bringing a korban. You're certainly not anointing any kings. Who would be doing that? You're here. Why would anyone need to anoint any new kings? Rather, this animal is just for the purposes of bringing a korban. And that's clearly what I'm doing. And that's the end of the story. So here you have a situation where he's saying something that's not really true. And it's not only that he did it, and the Gemara says, well, after the fact it was okay, it was mutter. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is setting up the scenario. So that apparently indicates that not only is it mutter, but it could actually be a mitzvah, l'shanos b'dvar ha-shalom. So Rishon already pointed out that you could say, is it not a good riot? Right? Because what was his concern? He says, how am I going to go? Shaul is going to hear, he's going to kill me. So it sounds like he's afraid of dying. Sounds like he's afraid he's going to get killed. So then pikuach nefesh would be dough for everything. So if this is a situation of pikuach nefesh, how could you learn from here that you can lie for the purposes of Shalom? Maybe it's only because he was afraid he was going to die. So there is an interesting teretz to this in a sefer called Arech Mesharim, which is subtitled Shulchan Arech Lemidos. And there he states that there is some discussion in the Gemara Pesachim and the Rishonim as to what exactly are the parameters of a concept of Shluchei Mitzvah and Nizokin. The idea that we have that somebody who's on a mitzvah mission is protected. So there's some discussion what exactly that means. But we can assume that if you have a one-time mission, God is singling you out and saying, you, do this. So chances are he's going to protect you. You're going to make it alive through this mission. So his physical life was not in danger. But there is still the issue of machlokis, because the emotional issue would still remain, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu's way is not to interfere with human emotions. So therefore, for that, they needed a plan. So that plan was this Karban Ploy. So that's the second day in the Gemara. That not only is it Mutter, but rather it is a Mitzvah. And the third of statements in the Gemara, whether it's a new opinion or it's a statement of emphasis, it's not clear, but this third statement in the Gemara is what draws on this week's Parsha. And that, the Gemara says that it's not only me and you who do such things, but Afakash Baruch Hu Atzmo Asa Kein. Even God himself engaged in such type of activity, and that we see in this week's Parsha, that with Sarah here, she's going to have a kid, so she's all skeptical. She says, how's it going to be that I'm going to have a child? You know, how old my husband is? You think it's shayach that I'm going to have a kid at this point? And then one pasuk later, so Akash Baruch Hu relates this to Avram, and it comes out a little differently. You know, Sarah's a little skeptical about the kid thing. She said something about, well, it made it sound like she said she was old, but Nizakanti, when really she said that he was old. So it sounds like the report was not accurate, and yet, for the sake of Shalom, we see this was permitted. So what exactly is going on here? What are the parameters of this idea? Right, that here you have something that would seem to be prohibited. We assume honesty is the best policy, and it's not only that, but the Torah does say, Midvar Sheker Tirchak. So what happened all of a sudden that we're allowing you to say things that aren't true? So Luchari, you could say two different ways. First, to work off the perspective of Mutter, the first opinion of the Gemara, so there are those who suggest that this is related to a pasuk in Sefer Zechariah. It's probably the most famous pasuk in Zechariah. A pasuk that talks about the Dalet Somos, that the fast for the Beit HaMikdash, Tom HaRaviv, Tom HaChamishi, etc., etc. So the pasuk ends that these fasts will be Yul Beis Yigdol Sos and Simcha, V'ha'emes V'ha'shalom Ahavu. And truth and peace are beloved. So one could say that we see from here that there are two core values in Judaism. There's emes, and there's shalom, there's truth, and there's peace. And ideally, you're going to live a life that's going to balance both of them. But what if you can't? What if you have to choose one or the other? So then, if you understand this pasuk to be telling you that the two dinim are equal, the two concepts are equal, emes and shalom share space as the two core values, so then it would seem to be logical to say that you could choose either one. It's a responsible adult could choose either emes, or you could choose shalom. It's permissible to lie for the sake of peace to choose shalom. And that by implication, it's also permissible not to. You could also choose emes, they're both legitimate choices. So that could be one way to see things. Now, what if you say mitzvah l'shanos? Not mutter, but mitzvah. So then you could say two ways. You could either say the way we just said, but tweak it a little bit, that we have a clash here between these two central values, between shalom and emes, but they're not equal. The shalom is the clear victor. And therefore, mitzvah, l'shanos, you have to pick shalom because they're unequal, so therefore shalom is the more important of the two, and that wins. And that taka, there is a debate in Sfarim, Maram Shik has a little bit about this, more recently Rav Shapansky, who was the editor of the Yoram Mizrach, wrote an essay about this topic. What is it that we give priority to? Do we give priority to emes, or do we give priority to shalom in general? What's the more important value? Those who are medayik in the order of words in the Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos. And some of the Hasidic Shasvarim, they have the following idea, that you may say, listen, I think emes has got to win, because the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, that Chesamo Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes, that God's seal is truth. He stamps his documents with truth. So if that's true, so then it seems to be a pretty big deal. So you're right, it is a big deal, but in the Sfarim they point out that you have to look at the Gemara earlier in Masechta Shabbos and Dav Yud. And there the Gemara tells us that it's not permissible to say God's name in an unclean place, in a place that you're not allowed to learn, a davenin. So you can't say God's name, it means you can't say the word Shalom. Because the word Shalom apparently has the status of God's name. So if that's true, so then you see that, yes, emes is a big deal, the seal of God, but Shalom is a bigger deal. It's the name of God. The name beats the seal. The seal is only representational. The name is the essence. So if you have a clash between the name and the seal, so the name wins. That's how it says in some Chassidish Svarim. A cute idea. But in any case, that could be one way to be Masbir things, that we have a clash between Emes and Shalom, and just Shalom wins. So basically, that's a tweaking of the previous Hezber, same Mahalath. Either we'll say that there's a clash and they're equal, so Mutter, or there's a clash and they're not equal, so therefore Mitzvah to tilt things towards Shalom. No, no, that's you'd have to look to other sources. If any, I think the MS comes first. So if anything, you'd say the pasuk indicates MS comes first. So you have to look to other sources to try. Didn't Shalom the MS? I think Shalom comes first. I think MS and Shalom. I forgot. She could be either way. So you have to. But there are some Midaic based on the order of the Mishnah. But there are a couple of proofs you could bring from here, and there's a whole discussion of that. So in any case. So, a different Hezbi, you could say, is that it's not really a clash between two values, but maybe it's not really a contest at all. That we have to try to figure out a little bit what happened to the issue of Midvar Sheker Tirchak. So the truth is, Midvar Sheker Tirchak is a little bit of a vague isser. And when the Torah wants to ask for something, so it has Lashonis with which it asks for things. We know that there are four Lashonis of Isser, Pen, Hishamer, Lav, all their words the Torah uses when it wants to ask for something. When it wants to say don't, it says don't. What does it mean, Tirchak? Stay away. So the whole range of interpretations of what that means. There are those who interpret it as a more extreme Isser. And when the Torah wants to say don't, it says don't. And here it says don't even come close. And there are those who understand it as a weaker Isser. That when the Torah wants to say don't, it says don't. And here it says, yeah, avoid. Stay away. So what exactly are the parameters of Midvar Sheker Tirchak? It's not so clear. Different opinions in Rishonim. That some suggest that it's comparable to American law. In American law, if I'm going to tell you something false right here and now, if I was making up the whole first few minutes of this Chaburah, so that's not illegal. I can't go to jail for that. When does it become illegal? When does a lie become something you can go to jail for? Well, if I defraud you, if I steal money through lying, if I make you give me money because you believe what I say is true when it's not, that's fraud. I can go to jail for that. Or if I say something untrue in court, so that's perjury. You can go to jail for that. So it could be that Midvar Sheker Tirchak defined Rishonim saying things parallel to this. That if you're going to defraud somebody, if you're going to hurt somebody through your Sheker, so then maybe that's what Midvar Sheker Tirchak is talking about, but not if it's neutral. Or there are those who suggest that it only applies in a Beis Din setting. The Gemara in the middle of Masechet Shavuos on Daf Lamed has a number of drushes in the Pasuk Midvar Sheker Tirchak, and they're only in the context of Beis Din. So there are those who understand like that, that Midvar Sheker Tirchak is a Beis Din-focused issue. So that may suggest, either one of those two has bearing, other than those two shittas may suggest, that a false statement that is not in the context of Beis Din, and that is not only not harmful, but is constructive, may not really be covered by the issue of Midvar Sheker Tirchak. Now, it doesn't mean that you should throw honesty to the winds when you're not hurting anybody, you're not outside of the Beis Din. First of all, many Rishonim say Midvar Sheker Tirchak may apply anyway, but even without that, there are many exhortations throughout Tanakh of the value of Emes, and we just saw it's the seal of God. It's not going to be taken lightly. It's only the question is that maybe when it's put up against a chiyuv like making Shalom, which is a whole topic in itself, that is for sure an obligation. So it could be that when you're competing Shalom and Emes together, so when the lie that you would say is in the interest of Shalom, it's probably not a violation of Midvar Sheker Tirchak. And you have the mitzvah of Shalom, so what kind of contest do you have? Of course you should stretch the truth for the sake of Shalom. Shalom is the clear winner. It's not even a contest, not even a clash. So this may manifest itself in a number of other discussions. But just to begin with, this whole question that we start with of mitzvah or mutter appears to be a topic that the Rishonim debated as well. That the Gemara in the second parak of Bava Metzia has a discussion. We know that there is a din of Hashavas Aveda. So Hashavas Aveda means that I find somebody's diamond ring, so I have to return it. But of course, we know if I'm going to get up in a crowded room and say I found somebody's diamond ring, so I'll discover that 50 people in the room happen to have lost a diamond ring that day. They're all going to come forward and claim it. So I'm not allowed to do that. I have to be more protective about it. I have to demand that they tell me some kind of siman and that they prove that they own the ring. But the Gemara says there's an exception. If you have somebody who's a Talmud Chacham, and in this context, Talmud Chacham is not a reference to how much you know, it's a reference to your honesty. A person is Eino Mishana B'Diburo, somebody who is consistent in what he says the truth. So then such a person is Neman B'Tfiyas Ayin, means if he takes a look at the ring, he says, yeah, I think it's mine, you can trust him, you can believe that he's telling you the truth, and you can give it to him. So the Gemara in that context tells us that there are three areas in which one could lie, and one could stretch the truth, and he's not going to lose his reputation as an honest person. He'll still be considered to be honest as far as the halacha is concerned, even though he says something that's not true. So the three areas, each one is a machlokas a little bit, how to understand what it means. The first one, if you had a great steak at somebody's house, and people ask you, where'd you have the great steak? So you might not want to tell the truth because the guy's going to get besieged by dinner requests. That's one area in which you could stress the truth. Masechta, which, according to the way some understand, probably means you don't want to show off how much you know, so you want to claim that you didn't learn something that you did. So then that also could be stretched without compromising your reputation. The third is puraya, which probably refers to the relationship between a husband and wife, not anybody else's business. Mar Shah has an interesting interpretation of that in a whole different direction. He understands it means Purim. Puraya, chayv inshul b'suvi puraya. The question is, somebody asks you to get drunk on Purim, you don't have to tell the truth. But we normally understand it not to be referenced to Purim. But in any event, so these three categories, so one could stretch the truth, and he's still going to be considered to be an honest person. So the Rishonim ask, well, isn't something missing from the list? Right, the Rush and the Riff, well, what happened to Shalom? Shouldn't Shalom be on this list? So it could be the answer to that question, which is not what they say. It could be that these are all subsets of Shalom, that all of these are examples of situations in which you're going to stretch the truth to protect Shalom. It's not that Shalom is not on the list, it's that the whole list is Shalom. But if you don't say like that, so that's a good question. So what about Shalom? Why is that not on the list? So these Rishonim say, it's not on the list because, of course, you don't have to be told about Shalom. Shalom is not an option. Shalom is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah l'shana. So, of course, if you're fulfilling the mitzvah, you have to do. So you don't need this Gemara to tell you that we'll still consider you to be an honest Jew in good standing. You're doing what you have to do. It's only these other categories which are more optional. So then we need to be taught that that's still legitimate. So these are Rishonim taking a stance that it's not Sam Mutter, but it's a mitzvah. On the opposite side, though, is part of the Rambam. The Rambam brings this halacha in two places, in Hilchos Gzeira D'Aveda and Hilchos Deis. So the Rambam writes that this behavior is mutter, it's permissible. So it could be that we have a dispute here in Rishonim whether Rishonim and Shalom is a mitzvah or mutter. And it may reflect the issues that we've been talking about, that maybe the question is, are we basically dealing with a tension here between Shalom and Emes? So therefore, either one is a good option to pick. Or are we saying, no, that Shalom is the clear priority, and therefore it's a mitzvah? So this leads into another issue, which is relevant to the next words in the Rambam. The Rambam, after he says mutter, he says something else, and that's relevant to the next question. When we say that one can stretch the truth, so we already noted that the Gemara doesn't use the word l'shakeh, the Gemara uses the word l'shanos. So perhaps that's intentional, perhaps that's precise. That maybe the Gemara is trying to make a point here that we shouldn't actually black and white say falsehood, but we should try to be somewhat faithful to the truth. We should try to, you know, we'll be deceptive. We won't stick to the same standard that we would in normal business interactions or day-to-day life, but you won't say a blatant falsehood either. Perhaps that's what the Gemara is trying to tell us. So that question could also be totally on this previous issue. Now, do you believe that there is sheker present and you're deciding how to balance sheker and shalom, and therefore really try to minimize the violations of sheker as much as possible? Or do we say, no, it's simply not an issue in this case, and therefore there's nothing to worry about? So here also, if you look at the Rambam not only does he say mutter as opposed to mitzvah, but his language is even milder than the Gemara's. The Gemara says l'shanos and not l'shaker, and the Rambam doesn't even say l'shanos. The Rambam says mutter l'hosif u'l'groa, to add on and to take away. That sounds as if he's trying to limit things, that apparently he believes there is a tension here, and therefore the least lying you can do, the least compromising of the value of MS, the better. Ma'is b'chafetz Chaim paskins that if you have to, if you have to say something totally untrue, you can. But it's best to try to avoid it. Best to try to be as, at least on the surface, as honest as possible. And try to minimize any blatant misrepresentation. Perhaps the most famous Gemara that talks about stretching the truth for peace is more famous than the central text that we started with. It's the Gemara in the second parak, Iksubis. There the Gemara has a line that was made famous by all the wedding bands. Ketzad merakdin lifnei hakala. How should you dance in front of the kala? So the bands will tell you what's the answer to the question. Kala nava chatzuba. What they don't tell you is that's not the only opinion. Right, that was the opinion of Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says, say kala nava chatzuba. And Beis Shammai disagreed that the bands paskim like Beis Hillel, together with the Shulchan Aruch, and therefore they cut the quotation off there. But Beis Shammai raised the objection, and maybe you're not so impressed. Right, maybe you don't really think she's kala nava chatzuba. Doesn't the Torah say midvar sheker tirchak? So how could you say such a thing? So rather you say kala kamashihi. You say something you can get behind, which probably does not mean that you should sing ugly kala, ugly kala. But you say, you know, something that you can support. You know, willing to go out with him, willing to go out with him. Something that is true. So that position of Beis Shammai is a little difficult. Rav Yitzchak Sternhell discusses in a Sefer Kochel Yitzchak that what's with Beis Shammai? He's firmer than God. And there's no opinion in the Gemara that says he's not allowed to be Mishana Pnei Hashon. We have Mutter, we have Mitzvah, we have Kosh Baruch Hu himself does it. So what's with Beis Shammai? Why is he not allowing this? So the carrots may be, as suggested in that Sefer, that the key element here is that Beis Shammai lived a very long time ago, before there were video cameras. So what? What's the difference? So when the people in Beis Shammai went to a wedding, so nobody came up to them with a camera and said, so Nu, what do you think of the kala? Say it into the camera. So they would agree that if that would happen, so then they'd say whatever you have to say. They would say, whatever will keep the peace. But if nobody's doing that, right, so nobody's asking you what you think, so why do you have to go volunteer something you don't believe in? But if you're forced, you have to choose between peace and truth. Okay, fine, take peace. But if you're not forced, then who's asking you to say something you don't believe in? Better don't volunteer. So if that's the position, that you see, then how do we contrast that to Beis Hillel? So Beis Hillel apparently believes you can mamish, take a preemptive strike. They proactively say something, even when it's not necessary, in order to enhance shalom. So the Chari has the same issue here, that the Beis Shammai believes that there is a tension between shalom and emes. So ideally, you won't compromise if you don't have to. If you're not forced to, you won't say anything. And Beis Hillel perhaps believes that shalom is the clear victor, and therefore better to take that and to not worry about what you're saying, whether it's true or not. So you find this issue probably in a couple of other places. For example, of Cook and the artists that were printed in Sefer Tov Roi, Maseches Ksubis, on that Tzigadai Kalanov Chasuda. So Cook quotes an anonymous Chacham who stated the following, that, you know, the Rambam has this idea of the Derech HaMamutza and the Shvil Hazav, that one should always take the golden mean in all midos. You should not be too extreme in any direction, but every midah you should have in the middle. So in that context, there's also an idea, though, that as much, and this is something that we don't expand it on, that even though that's generally true, you should try to be in the middle of all midos, but sometimes it is appropriate to be on one extreme. And that is when you're on the opposite extreme. You're on the opposite extreme and you need to correct, so then it's kedai to go to the other extreme in order to pull things into the middle. So, therefore, suggest this anonymous chacham, that yes, it's true, matulashanesh bidvar hashalom, that one can stretch the truth for the sake of peace. That's true for a normal person who tries to be honest most of the time. So then he can once in a while say something that's not true to keep the peace. But somebody who's working on this issue because he has a problem with MS and he has to go to the extreme of honesty, so such a person shouldn't avail himself of this dispensation. And Rav Kook himself disagrees. Rav Kook says not true. That here you have a mitzvah, Lashanos. You have to do this. So what right do you have to say you're on your character development, the self-improvement program, and you're going to skip it on your mitzvah? You have to do your responsibility, and you'll work on your mitzvahs in your own time. Right. So I think the same issue here. The Chacham Echad has what to rely on. I think you see the same machlokas here. That this anonymous Chacham was assuming that you have a clash between the two. So therefore, in general, you could pick Shalom under normal circumstances, but if you're already imbalanced, so then you should tilt things in the favor of Emes. While Rav Kook is understanding Shalom through the clear imperative here, and therefore, that should be the way you go. You find this coming up in a couple of other sheets. There's also, for example, the Tshuvas Yad Eliyahu is of the opinion that even though you're allowed to lie for the sake of peace, that's true if it only comes up once in a while. But to make a habit out of it, to do it every day, that would be a problem. And again, there the understanding is that apparently if you tilt the balance so much that you're going to really skew things, so then that's not right. Then you have to tilt back in this favor of MS and balance the two. Along similar lines, a citation from the Chassam Sofer. I thought that this was in the Chassam Sofer on Shas. Recently, I tried to look at it inside. I couldn't find it. I don't know. I thought I once upon a time saw it there, or saw someone that quoted it there. But I was not able to find it inside. But I thought there was a comment in the Chassam Sofer on the Masechah Shabbos as follows: that there is a din that was, we know that when wearing tefillin, one has to keep a clean body, has to keep a goof naki. So the Chassam Sofer says this is not only true about physical cleanliness, this is true about spiritual cleanliness as well. That you have to not only be clean physically, but you have to be spiritually clean, which means you shouldn't tell lies. You shouldn't say things that are not true. But you shouldn't tell lies all the time. So he says, even the Sneha Shalom, even to tell a lie for the sake of keeping the peace, you shouldn't do what's going on. If somebody comes to you and says, so what do you think of my new tie? So you say, hold on a second, unravel, and then you answer his question. So you see the Chassam Sofer seems to be saying that there is a chetz of sheker here, there is an issue here of falsehood. It may be necessary and mutter, but might say it's still sheker, and that's still offensive to tefillin on the level that it is. There is an interesting position of the Sefer Chassidim that's quoted by the Magen Avraham. That would seem to make it kind of authoritative. But there is some discussion in later Sfarim whether or not this opinion is accepted. It could be it's not accepted. But it's very interesting nonetheless. And you know, if you walk in Washington Heights, so you're often approached by people who want to invite you to give them money. So often many people have a minute to say, I don't have any. And the assumption seems to be that that's legitimate, that you're saying it not to get into a fight with the guy. It's either that or say, listen, sir, I have really quite a bit of money in my pocket. I'm very wealthy. I'm carrying a lot of cash, but I choose not to give you because I don't know who you are, I don't trust you, I don't like you. So that's my decision. So that's normally not going to be a safe thing to say. So people say, I don't have any. So that probably is mutter, but Sefer Chassidim sounds not that way. Sefer Chassidim seems to say that that's not right. That this idea that you can be Mishan at Neha Shalom That's only true about things in the past. Things in the present, or things in the future, so you're not allowed to be Mishana for that purpose. So it's a little unclear where he gets that from. Later Sfarim suggest that apparently Chazal, whoever made this limitation, felt that it's too broad to say you can lie for the sake of peace, so maybe everything will become for the sake of Shalom if you stretch it enough. So we have to have some kind of limitations. So it should only be on things in the past, in order that things shouldn't get out of the hand. But then a lot of the rayas that we have, are Kalanov, Chasuda, and Masechta, don't seem to fit with that. That's Shmuel, they don't seem to fit with this story. So, with this position. So it's a difficult shita. So I thought maybe you could say like this, that maybe the idea is, that what's the Sefer Chassidim telling us? That really, he believes that there is a clash here between Emes and Shalom, that there is Sheker as an issue, and Shalom can push that away, yes, but since Emes is really a problem, so then we only push it away when you have to. If you only have two choices, either lie or start a fight, okay, so lie, don't start a fight. But what if you have a third choice? If you have a third choice, you should take that. So in this case, we have three choices. Right? Either you could lie, say I don't have any money, or you could say I have tons of money and I'm not giving you any, start a fight. Or the third choice, you could give them the money. You may not like that choice so much, but it's a way of avoiding either Sheker or Machlokas. So perhaps what the Sefer Chassidim is saying is that in his reference to the past as opposed to the present to the future, saying when is it that you're allowed to be Mishanef Nehashon? When the facts are set in stone. When you can no longer affect the situation, so then, fine, do what you have to do. But if it's something in the present or in the future where you can still have an impact on the facts, better to change the facts rather than compromising either of these values. So then the examples, Masechta, Kalanav, V'chasuda, those things are realities. You can't do anything about them. So therefore, okay, so fine, your only option is to lie. But if there was a third option, if there's something you could do to avoid the whole conflict, so better to do that than to compromise either of these core values. Because Baruch Abraham, he did, because that was part of it. Whatever reason he had to tell him to begin with, it's not going to become any less than less because of the Sheker. How you start with social media, because Baruch Hu's motive was, that still is going to be there. But perhaps that's the idea, that there is this tension, and therefore if you can avoid the situation, all the better. Okay, so we'll stop there to quickly review what we spoke about. So we mentioned the fact that there is this idea the Gemara has that you're allowed to lie for the sake of peace, and the second opinion says not only you're allowed to, but you have to, and the third opinion says HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself does it, and all three of these positions are based on stories of Tanakh, ending off with this week's parasha of the discussion about Avram and Sarah and the child. So we question, so where does this come from? What happened to Dvar Sheker Tirchak? So we had two approaches. Either we have a clash between Emes and Shalom, as the Pasuk says, Emes and Shalom and Havu. These two pillars are the important things that life is based on. And we then, for that, if you say Mutter, so you could say the clash between two. If you say mitzvah, it also could be a clash between two, that maybe just Shalom is more powerful in the clash. You mentioned the discussion about what indeed is more powerful. You mentioned that the Chassidish Shavuot about the Gemara and Shabbos, about Emes being the seal and Shalom being the name. So that's one possible approach. Or you could say that there isn't a clash. The Midvash Sheker Tirchak either only applies when it's damaging, like say for Yireim, it only applies when it's in Beis Din. And therefore, a lie such as this, which is not in court, that is constructive, so that is not going to be a violation of Midvar Sheker Tirchak. So therefore, you have a clash between the mitzvah of making Shalom and saying something which isn't really even technically an Isser, so then it's not going to be much of a contest at all. And then we saw this question, what the mitzvah is apparently Machlokas HaRishonim, that Rishonim asked in the Bagamar of Mitzvah, how come it doesn't list Shalom as one of the cases where one could be Mishana and keep his reputation as a Talmud Chacham. So you could say it's because all the examples in the Gemara are about Shalom, or you could say that it's not about that, but rather that Shalom is not mentioned because Shalom is a mitzvah, and these are options. So those are Shalom that seem to say that Shalom is a mitzvah, while the Rambam says mutter. Not only that, but the Rambam says mutter lahosif for legrow, which is another issue. Are you allowed to blatantly lie, or do you have to somehow preserve emes to whatever extent you can, which seems to be a related issue as well. And we discussed the Gemara by Kal Nava Chasuda, they still have to say that, although Shammai says Kal Kamashahi. And we discussed the Aisa Hakabe Shammai not agree that you can lie, at least according to everybody. So maybe the issue is that Shammai says not to do it because you don't have to, no one asked you, and they still saying you could even volunteer. And then we discussed the position of the anonymous Chacham, that somebody who has to work on MS shouldn't compromise because he has to develop this sense. And the Cook disagreed. He said, no, this is not an appropriate setting for character development. You have to do your mitzvah of Shalom, and that's the whole story. And then we discussed Chuvas Yad Eliyahu, that you can't make a habit out of it, you can't do it too often. And we discussed the Chassam Sofer, which again I can't find, but it's apparently there somewhere, that Tefillin requires a Guf Naki spiritually as well, which means you can't lie even if they have Shalom. So apparently there is an issue of Sheker there. And then we discussed the position of the Sefer Chassidim, which Magen Avraham quotes. So we mentioned later posting a question if it's true or not, about saying that you can only say about things in the past, not about things in the present and the future, therefore you can't say to somebody who approaches you for money, say you don't have any money. And we suggested that perhaps the Sefer Chassidim here is working off the assumption that there is a clash between Emes and Shalom, so therefore you have to pick one. But that's only true when you're forced into the clash. If you can take a third choice, so better to take the third choice and change the facts rather than deal with the facts and either go for Emes or Shalom. And maybe that's what he means when he talks about the Avar, only things where the facts are set in stone, as opposed to things where you still could change the present and the future. And maybe that the same question, the clash between Emes and Shalom, is at the root of his position. Okay, we'll stop there. And that's the